Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Let's stand for the reading of the word this morning, 1 Samuel 17. I've been in a series called Battleborn. This is a 47-part series. I may just preach this till Jesus comes back. You know why? Because how many of y'all believe? I believe we've always needed this, but it's more now more than ever that a warrior is on the inside of you. God did not create you to live in defeat. God created you to live in victory and have a winning attitude on the inside of you. You don't fight for victory, you fight from victory because he's already done it on the cross. Come on, how many of y'all believe the battle is already won? The race has already been run. It is finished. But that sorry, no count, thieving devil. But we got to be Ephesians 6:10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says this in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 24. I'm reading from the new NLT. Because there's something that it says in this that really grabs my attention. I am a New King James man, actually an amplified guy, old King James. It makes this hillbilly sound real stoic when I talk about it. But how many of y'all know that the Bible is stoic? It ought to come from, you know, like a Sean Connery voice. Are you ready? Verse 24, As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen this giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give the man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. David asked the soldier standing nearby, what will a man get for killing the Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? And these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. You just be ready. There's going to be people in your family. When you speak the words of faith, they may not understand it. You may have a brother. You may have a mother-in-law. You may have a son-in-law. You may have a daughter-in-law. You may have somebody. They may think you're crazy, but I want you to see from this scripture here, stand in faith. Because one of you is going to kill the giant, and one's going to be ran over by the giant. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? Oh, it's a little sarcasm here. I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. What have I done now? David replied. I was only asking a question. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. So he's going around. Have you heard? Have you heard? I know what I heard. Then David's question was reported to the king, and the king sent for him. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. I love this, and this is a reason I'm reading in NLT, verse 33. Don't be ridiculous. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, be ridiculous. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, be ridiculous. Saul replied, there's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I believe he was from Randall County. Come on, somebody. Or Potter County. He was from the panhandle of Texas, that's for sure. He wasn't from Boulder County, Colorado. I can promise you that. Ain't that right? I got some Colorado folks in here. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it again to this Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear. Come on, there may be some of you out there that have some claw marks and some bear marks, but I'm here to tell you that the same God that rescued you out of that will rescue from this giant. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. Lord, I pray that the heart of a warrior rises up inside of your people today. I lift up these moms, these dads, these business owners, these grandmas, these grandpas, these aunts, these uncles. Lord, I lift these Americans up to you. Lord, I pray that right now is not the time. I pray that if they came here and here weak, defeated, and lonely and all alone, may they see that the God who was with them in the past will be with them today. And God, I just pray that the heart of excitement and warrior rise up on the inside of them, and they'd walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Well, look at your neighbor and say, you look like God's going to do something big in your life today. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it looks like God's going to do something big in your life today. I believe it in mine. Look at your other neighbor and say, be ridiculous. All right. Some of you looked at your teenage son or your teenage daughter, and you already believe it when you said it. Come on, somebody. All right. Who's excited about the word this morning? I know that I am. Those of you that are just joining us, we've been on I think this is the fifth time I'll be preaching on David and Goliath, Battleborn. But I believe that in a time today where we're making decisions, that 8-year-olds can make the decision whether or not they want to be a boy or whether or not they want to be a girl, I believe today we need to be in the decision, hey, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to stand for what is right, and I'm going to stand for the Word of God. And so today, I'm so excited about the Word. I told people in prayer yesterday, I may need an organ player. You just be ready. I got me a hanky right here in my pocket from Pastor Robert, and it is American to the bone. Okay, are you ready? Some of you, you're freaking out. I promise I won't be long. I know I may sound Pentecostal, but I won't be any more than 2 hours in here. I promise you that. All right? All right, I'll tell you what was her name? She's had 8 husbands. This won't be long. What she told her 8th husband, this won't be long. Are you ready? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we've seen the story here about this young, about the Israelites. They're camped out at the Valley of Elah, and on one side is the Philistines, the enemies of God, and on the right side is the Israelites. And every day there was a giant that would come out for 40 days. The Bible says that he was 9'6" tall. Said that his shield was so big that he had to have another man carry his shield. And every day he had a custom tailor-made word that he would say to the people of Israel, trying to break them down, trying to defeat them. Kind of like what the devil tries to do to you on a daily basis, trying to deceive you inside of your mind. And so we need to take from that, we need to have a custom-made word and be consistent. If the giant is going to be consistent for 40 days, we need to be consistent to come back with a custom-made word of what God has already told us. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the field. Whatever I put my hand to shall and will prosper. God has created me for such a time as this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, somebody who believes that this morning. Don't be deceived of what the giant tries to tell you. So Saul is freaked out, the king of Israel, and they have all these men there. And David, in the previous chapter we saw yesterday, that he had been anointed to be the next king. But the king of the time, he didn't know it. And so he sends his dad, Jesse, sends David out to the battlefield. And he sends him out there, hey, I want you to take these guys some pizza. Translations talked about cheese. I think the Amplified even talks about some cheeses and some fruits and all different things to the battle. And as he shows up, this is one of the times that the giant comes out and begins to taunt, begins to say his lies and speculation against them. And so here's this boy David, and he said, did I hear him right? You guys not realize that you are the army of Israel? Do you not realize from our past and our ancestors that God's hand is upon this land? And I want to tell you Americans as well. It's the same way in America today because of our forefathers and what they started. And it's time for the church to rise up and say, it's in God we put our trust. One nation under God. That's how we need to be. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to awake that warrior on the inside of you. So anyways, they're freaked out. And we see from the text here, he says, did I hear this right? Did I hear that? I'm just came out here to bring some cheeses, but he was coming against us. But did I hear right? Did you really say that there'll be no taxes, that you'll get the king's daughter, and there'll be great riches? I mean, I'm not very old, but I like all three of those things. Sign me up to fight. Come on, if you're going to be a believer today, you need to say this. Sign me up to fight. I'll go against him. I'll go against him, not by... It's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I believe your spirit is living on the inside of me. You know what I see from this text, and I know this about life. He shows up to this place. He didn't choose the giant, but the giant chose him. He just showed up to bring some cheeses and some meats and some things to his brothers. But he didn't know that day. How many of y'all have ever had that day before where you woke up minding your own business, just going to do your thing, and a giant shows up? You need to know this. When a giant shows up, you don't choose your giant, but you need to choose to fight. You don't choose what it's going to be, but you need to choose one thing. You need to choose to fight. We don't always choose our fights. We have to choose to fight, though. Now, husbands, I'm not talking about that thing with your wife. Like men, how about, when they put everything in the garage that don't fit in the house? I'm not choosing to fight. Sorry, I'm moving on from right here, all right? Y'all pray for me. We don't always choose our giants, but we have to choose to fight them. And what is a giant? I told you in the beginning week, a giant is this. The thing that has distracted you, that's discouraged you, and deterred you from your promise. You need to know this. For every promised land that God has for you, there's going to be a giant. Or should I say it this way? For every giant, there's a promised land. Woo! Isn't that good? So whatever, those boneheaded things that you go up against, you need to know this, that God has a promised land in store for you. It's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I'll tell you this, the reason I've been preaching on Battleborn, I've been preaching on spiritual warfare on Wednesday night schools. We've had great success with that, and lots of people being here, because what do people see? People see that there is great darkness that has come over the land. There is great darkness that comes over the land. But you know what? I came to give you a good word this morning from Isaiah 60. He prophesied, there may be great darkness that comes over the land, but you need to keep looking, because there is a great light breaking through the dawn. I'll just go ahead and read it to you. Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. You know what? Walmart may be full of darkness, but when I show up, I'm bringing the light of Christ that's on the inside of me. Facebook may be dark. Can I get an amen out there? Lord, have mercy. But you know what? There is light on the inside of you. So we see in this text here that they're at a place of darkness as well. And we see in verse 25, you get great riches. I love the text in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is great rewards of those who seek the Lord. He said, you'll get great riches, you'll get the king's daughters, hello, and no taxes. And then in verse 30, I love that in verse 30, he said he walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. So he's going around. He's saying, did I hear this correctly? Yeah, you heard it correctly. You know, and it's something when God does something magnificent inside of your life, you can't shut up, you can't be quiet about it. You say, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. And so you go to everybody, wherever you are. That's what he's doing. Hey, do you really know who is on the inside of us? Do you really know that the King of Kings is actually on our side? Did I hear this correctly, that you get all of this stuff? Why are we sitting here and enjoying the Pizza Hut when we could be out there defeating the giant? Because do you remember who's on the inside of us? Do you remember back that if he crossed the Red Sea, he will be with us with this uncircumcised Philistine? But what I love about verse 31, this is so good. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Y'all lean in and listen to this. Faith-filled words always get the attention of a king. I'm done. We've already talked about they saw how big the giant was. But when they heard, they saw it all, but when they heard from the giant, they were in dismay. I'm here to tell you, faith, I told you before 2 weeks ago, you need to stop listening to yourself and start speaking to yourself. You know what's going to get the attention of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Faith-filled words. I will say it again. Come on, I hope this gets in your spirit. You know what gets the attention of the healer? You know what gets the attention of the provider? You know what gets the attention of the one was the fourth man in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Faith-filled words. Come on, are you hearing me this morning? It's faith-filled words that gets the attention of the king. I love the text in Luke chapter 7 of the Roman officer that he's sick, and he gets some of his colleagues and says, hey, go find this Messiah. Go find this healer. And they go to him, and he said, what can I do for you? And they said, back home, we have this Roman, our officers there. And the Roman officer told us, just say the word. Because when I say the word to my colleagues, they do what I say. And what did Jesus say because of the faith-filled words? He said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Because of faith-filled words, the man was healed. I love the story about Jairus' daughter. He said, my daughter has died, but you can bring her back. Because of those faith-filled words, he said, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to go to your house because healing is coming to your house. Why? Because of faith-filled words. I love the story in Luke chapter 18 of blind Bartimaeus. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And his blindness was gone. His eyesight came back. Why? Because of faith-filled words. Are you getting anything this morning? In John chapter 11, I love it that Martha meets him out on the road and said, if you would have just came, if you were just here, if you would have been here, I know my brother would have lived. But I know it was those faith-filled words that on the third day he said, roll the stone away. Lazarus will live and not die because of faith-filled words of his sister. I believe because of faith-filled words of the woman, the Samaritan woman that was at the well, she said, give me the water that you're talking about. Because of her faith-filled words, there was life that came to her. I'm telling you this morning, you can either be faith-filled or unfaith-filled. Doubt-filled. In Mark chapter 6, we see doubt-filled words. We see in Mark chapter 6 of when he goes to his hometown, Nazareth, Jesus goes there, and they said, you're just the carpenter's son. You're just like one of us. And because of their doubt and disbelief and their unfaith-filled words, the Bible says he healed a few sick people and he left. You know what I'm here to tell you this morning? It only takes one to speak faith. Moms, dad, I'm talking to you. I hope it's both of you. But inside of your doubt-driven home, for your kids' sake, you need to have faith-filled words inside of there. Moms, we need to have faith-filled words towards our children. Dads, we need to have faith-filled words towards our wife. What I love about the text, he said, I went up against the lion and the bear. See, he's coming from a place of, I've got a testimony. This is my testimony. You know what I've learned about someone with a testimony? It's hard to tell someone they can't do it when God has already made a way. You've already been through the testing. Hey, they told me I had cancer, but because of Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, I'm telling you, I ain't got cancer in my body no more. They told me the rheumatoid arthritis was going to affect my body, but you know what? The healer showed up, and because of his healing provision, I am now walking in healing and health. Don't tell me no giant that's going to be bigger than that. I'm telling you, you talk to somebody who's had a testimony of a child that was wilder than a March hare, lost as a ball in high weeds. But because of a praying church and a praying mama, that boy and that girl came back to the land of the living and is serving God today. Come on, you can't tell a mama that's had a baby come back and say, you know what, this giant is too big for you. That mama says, oh, that giant was too big then. And I tell you what, it's too small today because of what God did for me. You can't tell a marriage that said, you know what, it's never going to be the same again because of what he did or she did. But because of God's grace and God's mercy coming into a marriage and fixing those things, you can't tell that person with the testimony, just like you couldn't tell David. If he was there for those things, he will be there today for me today. What I see in the text here is I see a response from David and I see a response from Saul. David's response was he minimized the giant. But Saul, he magnified the words of the giant. What words are you magnifying? Are you magnifying the CDC? Are you magnifying the King of Kings? He said, magnify the Lord with me. Isn't it amazing when we magnify things, we see it bigger than it ought to be? I don't know about you, but I don't want to see sickness and disease bigger than a healer. I don't want to see doubt, disbelief, or even debt bigger than I do a provider. So what I want to do this morning is this. I want to look at Saul's response or David's response. Which one are you today? Are you Saul's response over the giant in your family's life and your nation's in your nation today or whatever you're going up against? Or you have David's response? What I love about the three crosses. And actually, my son the other day asked me, he said, Dad, why does it have three crosses? I said, it's a reminder to me there was Jesus in the middle, and we have a decision every day of which side of the cross that we'll be on. Because we see from Luke, we see in Luke something. You study it yourself. I'm not perfect, y'all. I'm not like a walking Bible. But in Luke, tells the story of on one side of the cross was a man who had doubt and disbelief. He said, aren't you the Son of God? But there was one on the other side, but because of his faith-filled words, Jesus told him, tonight I will be with you in paradise. When I look at the three crosses, I see this. I see that one had the response of faith and one had the response of facts. I see, when I look at the three crosses, I see one had the response of doubt and disbelief, and one had the response of who he really was. And so looking at this, Saul responded one way, and David responded another. Verses 32 and 33 here, it says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. That's courage. Verse 33, he said, don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy and has been a man of war since his youth. See, David responded with courage and Saul responded with worry. Go ahead and write that down. David responded with courage and Saul responded with worry. See, Saul had been deceived. I talked about this in morning prayer. See, the enemy, He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. You need to know this about the enemy. He is a lie. I'm going to say this again. The devil is a lie. And so what he speaks is lies. And so when he comes to you and says, you're too old, you're too young, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're never going to make it, you're sick, you will die, and tells you all those things, he tells you those things because that's who he is. He is a loser and he is one who has lost and he is in defeat. Because of his loss, he will always tell you that you have lost and you will live in defeat. That's why it's so important that you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so Saul is at a place, we see it in 1 Samuel 16, that he is being tormented by an evil spirit. That's where David meets him. That's where the man comes to him and says, hey, have you heard of this boy? He's a skillful musician. He's a man of war. He's brave. He's competent. He's good looking. He's all of these things. Let him come and be a minister to you. But Saul is at a bad place. He's let the giant break him down, speak inside of his head, and he has been deceived. We learned this on Wednesday night. Deception, there is deception, but the minute that you fall into deception is the minute that you begin to believe it. I tell you what, this year, the news out there was so full of deception, and the problem is not that it was deception. It's the problem is that the American people believed it 100%, took it to the bank. That's when you are being now deceived. That's where we got to be careful of the things we're listening to. We got to be careful of the people of influence that are speaking into our life. But David responded with courage. How many of y'all know the word says in Philippians chapter 4? It says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer through thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and keep your mind. See, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. I'll say it again. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And how many of y'all know when you get before your knees, you become humble before the King of Kings, and you come humble before the creator of the universe? I'm telling you, there's a confidence, there's a faith that begins to build up on the inside of you, that it's not by the actions of what I will do, but everything that God will do. God, I'm putting it into your hands. It minimizes me and it maximizes God. Because with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What I love about that scripture in Philippians 4, it says he will keep your heart and guard your mind. That word keep, in the original Greek, is a military term of somebody who stands at the door and says, you know what, you can come, but you've got to stay back. The other person comes. So what it does is, hey, the love of God, you can come into my heart. Hey, the power of God, you can come into my heart. Hey, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Hey, you can come on in. Doubt and disbelief, not today. Not today. Unfaith-filled words, not today. Disease, sickness of any kind, not today. I'm taking healing right here inside of my heart. So he says, hey, let me after him. He has the words of courage, where Saul has the words of, don't be ridiculous. I preached a message on this a couple of years ago, but I want to remind you of it this morning. Ridiculous and the miraculous always go together. The ridiculous and the miraculous, they go hand in hand. How many of you know faith looks ridiculous? It looks ridiculous. Noah, build a boat. What's a boat? I mean, how ridiculous does that sound? It's going to rain. Well, what's rain? Think about Naaman, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. Well, it's ridiculous till it works. Think about the story of Elisha. Hey, it's going to rain. No, it's been in a drought. Well, go dig a ditch. Well, what's a ditch? Well, it's going to be a place where it holds water. We ain't got no water. What? Now it sounds ridiculous, but just do it from a step of faith. Elijah, I want you to do this. I want you to call down fire from heaven, and I want you to put water all over the world. That sounds ridiculous. Well, I know it sounds ridiculous, but the miraculous will be right after you do the ridiculous. How about Lazarus? He said, roll the stone away. Well, he's dead. I know it sounds ridiculous, but roll it away. That step of faith may be ridiculous, but the miraculous, come on, somebody, always follows the ridiculous. 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's 5,000 people here. I know it sounds ridiculous, but bring me the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Moses, well, what do you have in your hand? All I have in my hand is a stick. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you hold that stick up at the Red Sea, and I will part it down the middle. I want you to march around Jericho 7 times without clubs in your hand, but just trumpets and sing praises to God. That sounds ridiculous. I know it does, but the miraculous is that the walls came tumbling down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. I want you to pray for the sun to stand still. I know that sounds crazy. It sounds ridiculous, but I'm here to tell you that the ridiculous always is followed by the miraculous. You know what's ridiculous, Pastor? I want you to serve in children's church. You want me to do what? Like, this is the 1 hour a week that I get free childcare. And you want me to serve during that time? I know it sounds ridiculous. Oh, but he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want me to come on Wednesday nights? I already come on Sundays. You want me to come to Bible school? That sounds ridiculous. Hey, am I opening your ears yet? Just a little bit. You want me to come to prayer? Who prays for 1 hour? 1 hour. Come on. That sounds ridiculous. Yeah, I know. You want me to tithe? 10%? What? That is ridiculous. Like, I've had a gym membership for 3 years that $50 comes out of my account and I hadn't been in 3 years, but you want me to give 50 to the church? Come on, who am I preaching to this morning? I know somebody's getting red out there. She's been getting 10 magazines she don't even look at. They go in the trash, but they come out every month. And you want me to do this? That sounds ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. You want me to forgive my enemies? Even Democrats? Sorry, Republicans? I know it sounds ridiculous. But people, I'm here to tell you this morning, that's what a step of faith is. There's been many times, Pastor Brandy and myself, we've stepped out in faith, going back to the giving thing, of this sounds ridiculous to give this much, but God put it in our heart. And I'm here to tell you, there's been many times, all we have to give is $1,000. Well, I gave the $1,000, and every time in the heat of, especially in business, it may have not come back with that $1,000, but it came back with a horseshoe and client that's still faithful to me today, that they have 10 or 12 head, that I make 15 times that in a year. God rebuked the devourer for my sake. It looked ridiculous at the time, but miraculous followed it. I'm trying to build your faith this morning, people. He never leaves us and he never forsakes us. The ridiculous, you want me to run after the giant. Pastor, that sounds ridiculous. Yeah, I know. It sounded ridiculous for Noah. It sounded ridiculous for the woman with the issue of blood just to touch the hem of his garment. But don't you know when she was reaching through like this, this looks ridiculous. But the healing that take place in her body, she'd do the ridiculous over and over and over. I'm here to tell you, if you're going to defeat giants, you're going to have a faith. You're going to have a David response of faith with courage rather than Saul's response with worry. Am I helping you this morning? Are you getting something out of the word? Here's the second thing. Saul's response is he had facts. But David's response was in faith. David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or a bear comes and steals a lamb from the flock, I go after him with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. See, the facts were this. The giant was 9'6" tall. The facts was Goliath's sword would take him out. Why was Saul in such disbelief? Because he was looking at facts, and the only way that he could see it was him fighting hand-to-hand combat with the giant. He said, you see all of these facts? And you see, this is the way you fought because this is the way we've always fought. But David had a different response because greater is he that's in him than is he that is in the world. He said, Saul, you're looking this through the eyes of the CDC. You want me to be from a, a 6-foot social distance from the giant. But I'm looking from a place where I'll even be farther than 6 foot, and God has put something in my hand that I killed the lion and the bear with. And I'm looking at it from a whole different lens. You know what faith does? Faith looks past the facts and it looks through a whole different kind of lens. Faith looks at the same circumstance but sees it through a whole different lens. You know what I love about the story of when they're surrounded, Elijah is surrounded, and he has his servant Gehazi. He doesn't pray, "Lord, give strength to Gehazi." Gehazi comes with doubt and disbelief and says, "Hey, prophet, we are surrounded by all these men." What does he pray for Gehazi? He says, "Lord, open up Gehazi's eyes to see." You know what I'm praying today for America? I'm praying what Elijah prayed for Gehazi. "Lord, open our eyes to see." Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to the same situation with our kids that looks impossible, looks like a big giant. And the facts are this: if they're this old and they're saying these things, this is probably going to happen. But I choose to look through the lens of faith that says, you know what? You can turn things around. I look through the same situation of my finances. I'm going to take the same money that I'm getting every month, and I'm going to choose to be a steward and not blow it. And I'm going to take it, look at it through a different lens, and take the money God, you have blessed me with, and begin to use it and steward it wisely. Am I painting a picture for you this morning? That's what faith does. I'm going to take the marriage that God has blessed me with over the last 20 years, and I'm going to begin to see her through the eyes of faith. I'm going to see him through the eyes of faith. It may look impossible now. It may look like it'll never turn around, but you know what I'm going to choose to do? I'm not going to look at it through the eyes of a giant. I'm going to look at it through the eyes of the restorer. If God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? What I love about this text here, he says, you know what? You may look at it one way, but I'm going to choose to look at it from a whole different way of doing things. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4, I love this text, especially in the NIV. It says, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." I'm going to say that one more time. Whoever watches the wind will not plant, but whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. If you keep looking at the circumstances, what you'll do is just like exactly what Saul did, and just stay on the mountain and not fight. But if you begin to look through the eyes of faith, you'll see there's no greater opportunity than today. It's like this: God put it in my heart in 1987 that I'm supposed to build this business, and I believe in 2025 that's the time I'm supposed to do it. No. Quit coming up with excuses and build the business. We're just waiting for the right time to have kids. Is that not the dumbest thing you could ever say? There's never a right time to have kids. We're looking for the right time when it's we're not financially stable. Let me tell you something. The minute you have kids, you'll never be financially stable. You might as well just have the kids now and thank God for them. Can I get an amen out there? That's exactly right. Well, I'm just waiting for the right time to marry this woman that I've been dating for 17 years. If you love me, baby girl, put a ring on it. Come on, put a ring on it. Who am I talking to? Oh, don't raise your hand, but come on. Y'all know some people out there that I'm talking about. Come on and pull the trigger. You keep looking at circumstances and you keep looking at some things. I'm just here to tell you, if you keep looking at the giant, you'll never fight. But if you look through the ends of faith, come on, somebody. You look through the ends of faith, you'll begin to see, oh, come on, if God is for me, then who in the world can be against me? We've got to be at a place. We may have facts that are all around us. It's too big. There's no way. But David had faith. Dig the ditch. Come on, pour water. Pour water on the wood. Call down fire from heaven. Roll away the stone. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Come on, I hope that gets in your spirit this morning. And here's the third thing. This is the last thing. I'm going to ask the band to come forward. What I see from this text here is this. Saul responded with his opinion, but David responded with God's word. I'm going to say it one more time, and I hope this really gets in you this morning. Saul responded with his opinion, but David responded with God's word. Now, you need to see, and I talked about this last week, David come from a whole different focus. He came from a place where he had been anointed by the prophet Samuel. We see in 16 and verse 12, it says, so Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. Goes on, so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. He came from a place where he was focused on God. If God was there for him, who could be against him? But Saul responded with his opinion. Now, I want to remind you of this right here in verse 33. He said, don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. Can I tell you this? And I believe this is for somebody this morning, and I know this in my spirit, this is for somebody today. Looking at the life of David, he loved Saul because he was the king. But the king only saw David as a boy. We see in Acts 13, what do we read about David, what God said about David? I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. God saw David as a man, but Saul saw David as a boy. Even the people that were surrounded by Saul, it was one of Saul's men. It was one of Saul's very men that said, hey, I'm going to send this boy to play the harp. Or not this boy, I'm going to send this man to play the harp. He's a skillful musician. He's a man of war. Don't tell me that Saul didn't know who he was because he had played for him and he had already had one of his men came and say, hey, he's a man of war. But because of the place of where Saul was, Saul came from his own opinion. His own opinion was, hey, he's just a boy. But the word of God said that David was a man. I'm here to tell this. I believe this is for somebody this morning inside of this crowd. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet this morning. I believe there is someone in the room today that you've lived your whole life trying to impress the impressible. You've lived your whole life trying to get the affection or trying to get the reward from somebody that you're never going to get it from. You know why? You know why he said that he was a boy? Because he was intimidated by him. And you cannot get that connection from somebody that is intimidated by you. What I love about this text is he says, you know what? You're just a boy. And David comes from the response of, no, God says I'm a man. I'll say it again. There may be somebody out there that's told you, there's been words that have been spoken over you. Hey, you're just a boy. And I'm talking to the ladies this morning. You may be coming from a place where, you know what? You're just a girl. You're just a girl. But God has called you to be a woman of God. I believe there's men out there today that says, you know what, maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it is your own father, your physical father, someone that you look up to, that you've been looking for affection or you've looking for affirmation from them. But because they're intimidated by the hand of God on your life, they will always see you as a boy. But I'm here to tell you, God sees you as a man. God sees you as a man. Oh, and I believe it by the Spirit of God. There's young men, there's young women that are in this room that you've been looking for that affection. You've been looking for that zeal. You've been looking for that person to say, hey, job well done. I'm just here to tell you, you may not receive it from them, but I'm here to tell you, we don't live for the approval of them. We live for the approval of God. And because of his opinion, because of his own personal opinion, Saul was never able to kill the giant. In your own opinion, in your own mind, and in your own heart, if you stick to the with man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Come on, get that in your spirit this morning. You as a person trying to do things on your own, you will always be a boy. But greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. But if God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? The way that you will be a giant killer is when you allow God to come on the inside of you, change you, and make you a man. Come on, who is this for this morning? I believe this is for somebody today. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes. I believe there's people in the room today. That last word was for them. There's somebody that they've tried to be approved by. And there's been opinions that have been spoken over you, but God wants to do something new in your life today. God wants to remind you that you're a man, that you're a woman. There's a fight on the inside of you. Come on, I believe there's somebody in the room today that God wants to minister to. God wants to remind them, you're not coming play. You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from a place of victory. Come on, I believe there's somebody in the room today that says, you know what? I've been going for the approval of somebody, and today God wants to release you from that. God wants to have you walk in freedom today. Come on, who is that? Just lift your hand. Who is that? Come on, who is that? Oh, I see those hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do... God, I pray for these that have their hands lifted high right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I just pray that you begin to do a work on the inside of them. I pray for freedom. Lord, may they be reminded of what you've done, of how you've been there, how you never leave them, how you never forsake them. God, I pray right now for these that have their hands lifted high. I pray, God, that you just begin to do a work on the inside of them. Lord, that you remind them that they are the head and not the tail. They're above only and not beneath. Oh, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. And so, Lord, I pray that they would be reminded that they are rich in you. Whatever they put their hand to shall and will prosper. May they not be led by the affections and opinions of other people. Affections and opinions of a mom or a dad. I pray for that relationship to be restored. But God, I just pray that they would be led by the Spirit of God. May the Word of God increase in them, God, and do a magnificent work. Lord, the work that you did at the cross at Calvary, Lord, I pray today for healing, healing, healing over their heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Still with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room and say, you know what, I'm away from the Lord, I can honestly say that there's sin in my life that has separated me from him. I'm here to give you good news today that we have a Savior that died on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. He showed resurrection power. If you're out there and you say, Pastor, you don't know what I've said, you don't know what I've done, you don't know how many lives I've hurt, you don't know what I've smoked, you don't know what I've drank, you don't know what I've shot in my arm. No, I don't, and I don't care. There's a God that wants to save you today. He said, I'll not only forgive you your sins, but I'll forgive you of all unrighteousness.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.